All right. One of these days, the Lord will say, now's the time. Amen. Jesus said, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. He said, not even the angels in heaven, he said, but my Father. He said, his Father's the only one knows when that hour is coming. And when that hour comes, praise God, he's coming back for us. It's going to be a glorious time. That's the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I hope you're ready. Amen. I hope you're ready. And he is coming. He is coming. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me tonight, if you will, to two passages of Scripture. I want to read a little bit here in Joshua chapter 20 tonight. And then I'd like to read a verse or two in Hebrews chapter 6. In Joshua chapter 20, and then we'll read a verse here in Hebrews 6. I appreciate all of you being in the service tonight, those of you that came and visited again. We certainly appreciate you putting forth that effort to do that. It's always good to gather with God's people. I found out a long time ago it takes people to have revival. I've never seen a pew get revived yet. Never seen one get saved or come to the altar or get right with God. I ain't never seen a pew do nothing. But it takes people if you're going to have revival. And I'm glad that you've come and to be part of the service here this evening. All right, Joshua chapter number 20. And look with me, if you will, in verse number 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. God had already instructed Moses in this matter. And now Joshua just reiterates what Moses has already told the people to do. He said that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly. That word unwittingly just means unknowingly. In other words, he's killed somebody, but it was not premeditated. It was accidental. Okay? He said that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause unto in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Y'all pardon me. I'll get this straight in a second and I'll quit making noise. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he shall stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse number 18, the scripture says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house here again tonight. We thank you for every individual that's taken time to come and be a part of this meeting tonight. Lord Jesus, we are conscious, Lord, of our need of you and how much we need you, O God. We realize that we're nothing in ourselves. We ask for your help, Lord, for the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, please speak through us as a channel, as a vessel. And Lord, may you give us the words, Lord, that our hearts need to hear tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would give the thoughts and, Lord, give us expression of those thoughts to your people. And, Lord, if there be one soul in our midst tonight who has never found refuge in the Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help them to find a place at the foot of the cross this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Tonight I want to preach a little while on Jesus being our city of refuge. Jesus is our city of refuge. Now, you'll notice in these verses that we've read tonight, Joshua instructs the nation of Israel to set aside six cities of refuge in the land of Israel. This is something that Moses had already instructed them to do on an earlier occasion. In order to understand what a city of refuge was all about, you would have to know something about the judicial system of Israel at that time. It was quite a bit different from what we are used to ourselves. There's really no way you can make a comparison between our system and theirs. In the Old Testament, you probably everyone is familiar with the we're familiar with the book of Ruth, and we're familiar with what we might call, or what was called, or what was termed a kinsman redeemer. And Boaz, of course, was a kinsman redeemer. And because of his near kinship to the family of Naomi and Elimelech, he was able to redeem everything that belonged to Elimelech after his death. And, of course, married Ruth, and what a beautiful story that is. But something that's not really covered as much as that is there was another office that a near kinsman could perform in that day, and it was not a kinsman redeemer, but a kinsman revenger. You see, under Israel's system of justice, if someone murdered one of your family members, the next of kin had the legal right to go after that murderer and shed his blood for the blood they had shed in your family. Now, we know we don't operate like that tonight. Everybody got that clear, right? All right, we know we don't operate like that tonight. However, if we did, there'd probably be a whole lot less killing going on in this country. Amen. But we don't operate like that tonight. But you have to understand, in order to understand why these cities of refuge were designated, there was a revenger of blood who was next of kin to the person that might be murdered, and they had the right to go after that individual and bring vengeance upon them for the blood that they had shed. And so in order to keep innocent people from being hunted down without mercy, God designated these cities so that if you accidentally were to kill someone, you had a place you could go and find refuge until a hearing was held and your guilt or innocence was determined. Now, you may be sitting here tonight and you're already thinking, well, now, preacher, I have never killed anybody on purpose, nor have I ever killed anybody by accident, so what in the world does this sermon have to do with me? Well, I'm going to tell you. Every person in this building tonight, every single one of us, have had a part in the death of an innocent man. Every single one of us. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on an old rugged cross and he was put to death. He was crucified. You say, but preacher, that was the Roman government that put him to death, or that was the Jewish nation that put him to death and said, let his blood be on us and on our children. But friend, I want to remind you that it was my sin and your sin and the sins of this world that put Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And I had as much to do with Jesus going to the cross as you had to do with it, or any other person in this world. It was our sins that placed Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Every single one of us had a part of it. You said, but wait a minute, preacher, I wasn't even born yet. Then you did it unwittingly, didn't you? You did it unknowingly. I think we all qualify for a need tonight of a city of refuge. Amen. Now I want to say just a few things about this city tonight. I want you to notice that there were some conditions for entering the city. In the first place, when you recognized your need of a city, you had to make an advancement toward that city. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate best I can. It's not probably the best illustration, but it's about the only thing I can come up with. Let's just suppose that one day me and my neighbor go to the forest to cut some firewood. And we're out there cutting down a couple of trees and we're sawing it up, and then we're gonna split it up into firewood. And we're just going at it. I mean, just chopping wood right and left. And all of a sudden, the axe head flies off my axe handle and hits my neighbor square in the head and just splits his skull open. And there he falls to the ground, and he's lying in a pool of blood. And in that day, there's no cell phone, there's no 911 to call. You're out in the middle of the forest somewhere. Unless you can help him, there's no help for him. And you know that he's going to die. But because of the way things operate then, there's some things I've got to be concerned about. For one, as much as I love my neighbor, I know he's got three boys that are about grown. And I've known these boys all their life. And that oldest boy of his is a hothead. He never has listened to reason, and he ain't going to start now. And I know that because of his relationship to his father, by law, he can legally come after me for the blood I've shed, even though I didn't mean to do it. But that's why God's got a city of refuge out there. And there's six of them. And the first thing I have to do is consider what is the closest city to me right now. Now, I am told that these six cities were so placed in the land of Israel that no matter where you were, you could always get to a city within a day's journey. Within a one day's journey, no matter where you were located, you could always get to one of these cities within a day's journey. That reminded me of what the scripture says when it said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You could always get there today. You could get there today. But you had to start today. You had to make a move today. Now, stay with me a minute. Here's what I want you to understand. Now, I might would like to take time to help make burial arrangements for my friend. I might would like to even go home and have a meal with my family and get a good night's rest and maybe start out tomorrow morning toward this city of refuge. But friend, right now, there is only one thing important in my life, and the one thing that is important in my life above every other issue is that I get to a city of refuge as soon as I can get there. My life depends upon it. I don't have time to go home. I don't have time to go to sleep. I don't have time to tend to other business. The only business that I've got time to deal with right now is this matter of getting inside the gates of a city of refuge before the avenger of blood catches up with me. Can I say this to you tonight? The moment you realize that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, from that moment in your life, nothing else is really important. Nothing else matters as much as that you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the city of refuge for your soul. I'm telling you, your business, sitting down and eating, going to bed and sleeping, whatever else you got to do, I'm telling you, the thing you've got to do is drop everything else and make a beeline for Jesus, just like this man had to make a beeline for the city of refuge. That's the only thing that matters in your life right now. And that's the only thing that mattered to him. He had to get there. And so he takes off. He gets in his mind which one's the closest city, and he heads out. Later on, in due time, these boys, they find out what's happened. Most of the family would be understanding, but not this one boy. He's mad as he can be. I mean, he's just spitting fire. He said, you wait till I get a hold of him. He said, I'm going to tear him to shreds. He said, I'm going to pay him back for killing my daddy. He won't listen to reason. Nobody can't talk to him. He's got one thing on his mind, and that's getting even. Now listen to me tonight. Whether you realize it or not, if you're a lost sinner, there's a revenger of blood on your trail. You know what he's called? He's called Old Man Death. And if Old Man Death catches up with you before you get to Jesus, you're going to be lost for eternity. I'm telling you something tonight. You don't want Old Man Death to catch up with you before you get to Jesus. You got to get to Jesus first. So he takes off. Here come the boys. They're hot on his trail. He must make an advancement toward the city. How many times in the scripture did Jesus say, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to tell you something over and over and over again in the scripture. There's the admonition to come. And when this man realizes the situation he's in and what's getting ready to take place, he must make an advancement toward the city. He must flee for the city. Then let me say this. Not only must he make that advancement, but he must admit his need when he gets there. The Bible tells us that in verse number 4, that when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, he shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, and they shall take him into the city unto them. Now, when he gets there, I mean, let's say he's been running for hours. He finally gets to the gate. The gatekeeper comes and says, "What's your cause?" And he tells him. He said, "I was out in the forest this morning. We was chopping wood. My axe head flew off the handle, killed my neighbor. He's got a hothead boy that's behind me. He's apt to kill me, and he will if he can. I need a place of safety. I need refuge in the city." And the gatekeeper will open the gate, and he'll go inside the city. But he must admit his need when he gets there. He must declare his cause when he gets to the city. Do you realize, and I think most of you would agree with me tonight, the hardest thing it is to get a sinner to do is admit he has a need. As a matter of fact, if you can get a person to admit their need, they're about 9/10 home. Let me show you a verse, if you will. Just turn with me right quick to the book of Job. Turn over to the book of Job in Job chapter number 33. Job chapter number 33. Notice what the scripture says here. Job, the 33rd chapter, and look at verse number 27. You got your place there? Job chapter 33 and in verse number 27. The Bible says, "He," talking about the Lord, "he looketh upon men, and," watch this now, "and if any say." Now what is the Lord waiting to hear us say? What does God want to hear us say? Here it is. "I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not." God said, "All right, if any man, if any will say, 'I'm a sinner, I've done wrong, and it did not profit me.'" Are you with me? You see what he's waiting to hear? "I'm a sinner, I've done what was wrong, and it did not profit me." He, talking about God, watch what the Lord will do. "He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light." Do you see that? God said, if I can get a man to admit he's a sinner and that sin don't pay, he said, "I will deliver him from going to the pit, and his life shall see the light." If I can get a man to admit his need, I'll save him. That's what he's saying. But I'm telling you, the hard part today is to get anybody to admit they're a sinner. Most people you talk to, they think they're all right. Everything's going to be all right. They're better than their neighbor or the fella down the street. So he had to admit his need. Not only must he make an advancement to the city, he must admit his need when he gets there. But thirdly, he has to be willing to abide in the city. Now notice verse number 4 again. Y'all still here? Everybody all right? Okay. Look at verse 4. "And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city," watch this, "they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may, now this is important, that he may dwell among them. Now understand, this is not no weekend trip to the city and back. This is not going to be a temporary arrangement. This is getting ready to be a permanent arrangement that he may dwell there. He's getting ready to change addresses. And he knows from the time he leaves his neighbor in the forest, he knows all the way down to that gate, that when they open the gate and shut it behind him, at best, it's going to be a long time before he ever goes back home. Matter of fact, he's going to be there as long as the high priest is alive. You see, the problem today, and you've seen it and I've seen it, a lot of times people get in their mind, they want enough religion to try to stay out of hell, but they don't want enough to change their life. And somehow they get the idea, Brother John, that they can just get close enough to Jesus that they can kind of slip around somehow behind him and try to slip one of them tickets to heaven out of his shirt pocket. They don't really want to get too close to him, and they don't want to hang around him for a long time, but they want to get close enough to see if they can snatch one of them tickets to heaven out of his pocket. But they ain't got no plans of moving in with him,
right,
and they sure don't want him moving in with them. But when you really get saved, you know what it means? It means you move in with Jesus, and Jesus moves in with you. The Bible refers to it as being in Christ, and also Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your life is about to change. Your environment's going to change. Your friends are going to change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And he knows good and well when he leaves that spot, if he ain't willing to move in, there's no need of going. And I think we probably ought to just go ahead and let people know to start with, if you ain't willing to live with Jesus and you don't want Jesus to live with you, there ain't no need of coming down here and making a show at an altar. Because this is not a temporary arrangement. It is a permanent. It is a permanent arrangement. It's not a weekend vacation. It's 7 days, 24/7 proposition. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day with Jesus. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you don't want him hanging around you all the time, you ain't even going to get him part of the time. He's not a part-time Jesus. He's an all-the-time Jesus. Amen. Y'all with me? Everybody still here? All right, hang on now. Not only have you must make an advancement to the city, you must admit your need to the city. You must be willing to abide in the city. But it is a place where the avenger is barred from the city. Notice verse 5. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. So, we've already seen the old boy get to the gate, and they open the gate, they let him in, they shut the gate. All right, now about that time, here comes old Hothead. He gets, where is he? Where's that low-down rascal killed my daddy this morning? You let me have him. Throw him out here. I'll tear him to shreds. And about that time, the gatekeeper comes out and says, sorry, mister, we got him before you did. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, once you make it to the arms of the Savior, thank God you're in a place where the avenger can't get to you. The avenger's not allowed. No, sir. No, sir. We got him first. You can't have him. You can't have him. We got him. Hallelujah. And the appointed time in the city, he said, until the death of the high priest. Well, we all know who our high priest is, don't we? We have a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, in that period of time, they operated under the Aaronic priesthood. And those priests could not continue because of death. The Aaronic priesthood, the sons of Aaron, they all died. But I'll tell you, that priest, who is a high priest forever after Melchizedek, he died once, but he'll never die again. He lives forever, amen. He lives forever at the right hand of the Father. Blessed be his holy name. Now let me give you a little illustration here and I'll be done. I want you to flip over a few pages, if you will, to 2 Samuel in chapter number 3. In 2 Samuel chapter number 3. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, and in verse 27, the Bible said, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Azahel, his brother. Joab, of course, was David's general. He was his general on the battlefield. Joab was a brilliant military strategist, but he was a ruthless man. He was not the kind of man you wanted to cross with. He'd make you regret it. And he had a brother named Azahel, and Azahel had pursued Abner one day in a battle. And Abner warned Azahel. He said, stay away from me. I don't want to kill you. And Azahel wouldn't listen. And he came upon Abner, and Abner killed him in the battle. And Joab determined he would one day get even with him. And that's what he's doing here. But now, stay with me a minute. And we'll soon be done here in a few moments. Lo, that's what he said. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner because he had slain their brother Azahel at Gibeon in the battle. David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner, and King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth?" That's a question. He said, "Did Abner die like a fool?" Now, why did David ask that question? He tells you in the next verse. "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept over him. Wept again over him. You notice where Joab killed Abner. Just outside the gate of Hebron. Hebron was one of the six cities of refuge. And the reason David asked if Abner died like a fool, he said his feet were not bound. He wasn't tied up. His hands weren't fettered. He had freedom to go and come as he pleased. He could have gone through the gate of Hebron and he'd have been safe. He got to the gate, but he didn't go in. And David said, in essence, he asked the question, "Did Abner die like a fool?" He got as close to the gate, as close as the gate, but he didn't go in. Remember, let me give you this thought. I promised I am about done, believe it or not. But I think this is important. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the Lord that night and all, you remember that story? And when Jacob got up the next day, he said, he said, "God is in this place." And he said, he called a name of it Bethel, which means the house of God. And he said, "This is none other than the house of God." But that ain't all he said. He said something else about it. He said, "This is not only the house of God." Jacob said, "This is the gate of heaven." I've always felt like anytime you come in the house of God where God is present, you have come to the gate. But just coming to the gate is not enough. You've got to go through the gate. You've got to get to Jesus. You've got to get to Him. Multitudes have come to the gate and went away lost. But you don't have to. You come to the gate tonight, if you don't know the Lord, I beg you, make a beeline to Jesus. Don't leave till you get to Jesus. Thank God He's our city of refuge. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank You for letting us be here tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Please use the message tonight, oh God. If there's a sinner in our midst that doesn't know the Lord, I pray You'd help them get to Jesus tonight. Help them simply come. You said, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." Help them to come, I pray. Meet the need in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us tonight, please? Everyone standing. Everyone standing. While our sister's playing on the piano, if God speaks to your heart this evening, you come. Let the Lord help you tonight. Jesus is our city of refuge. He's our city of refuge. flee to His arms tonight. Flee to the arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. He'll take you. He'll receive you tonight. You say, what have I got to do? Just admit you need. Just admit you got a need. Just admit you need. I've sinned. Lord, I've sinned. And it doesn't pay. And God said, I'll deliver you from going to the pit. And your life shall see the light. Can you admit you need to Him tonight? Just admit you need to Him. That's what He's waiting to hear.
Heads are bowed tonight. God's speaking to your heart. This altar is open. If you need to come tonight, if nothing else, come thank Jesus for being your city of refuge. Thank the Lord for making the way. Thank the Lord for providing us the place to run to, which is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't leave us. You know, I think about the Avenger. I think about the devil. He's after every soul. But let's run to Jesus. Pray for lost souls. They need to get to Jesus. The devil's got a grip on them. They need to get to the Lord. The Lord's made a way. Let's pray for them tonight. Whatever your need might be, bring it to the Lord tonight. Some are praying tonight. How about you? Lord, send revival. That's on our hearts. Lord, send revival to our land, to our nation. But Lord, send it to our church and send it to my heart. Lord, send revival. Perhaps a revival of concern for people who need to get to the city of refuge. A revival of a burden for those lost souls. The Lord's made a way. They need to get there. Today is the day. They need to go. Amen. You can look this way. Thank you tonight. Brother, I appreciate that. That's the meat of the word made plain right there. Amen. I like that. That's a good message from the Word of God. Tying it together like that. And the Bible, isn't it amazing? You'll never exhaust that book. It's a living book, amen? And no other book like that book right there and all those nuggets that are in there that go together, amen? And praise the Lord. I like revival mode. Don't you preachers wish it was revival mode every service, amen, right? Probably ought to be for us, but I tell you, I like revival mode. I mean to tell you, but I like these preachers coming in and I'm bringing these messages that God's given to them and it's a refreshment, amen, to us. Thank the Lord. It's a refreshing time. I had a preacher tell me recently, he just took a month off and brought different preachers in. He said it helped them and me too, you know, and it probably did. I can imagine that, but thank the Lord for this. I tell you, what a good meeting. Got one more night, and if I was going to miss one, it wouldn't be that one, amen. Wouldn't be tomorrow night. If I was going to miss a night, don't let it be tomorrow night. Appreciate you visitors being with us. Some of you be back at your place tomorrow night. I get that. And I thank you for coming and being with us tonight. Let's go out. Just keep uttering that prayer. Lord, send revival. Be praying tonight and tomorrow for the service tomorrow night. I hope just get a good crowd of our people here tomorrow night. And with a burden on our heart, praying for our preacher. And saying, God, do what you want to do in our midst. Amen.